This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Here's a statistic that might surprise you given all the talk about Muslim immigrants on the campaign trail this year. Every lethal terrorist attack in this country since September the 11th, Fort Hood, the Boston Marathon bombing, San Bernardino, all of them, have been done by American citizens or legal permanent residents. That kind of homegrown terror is the subject of a new book by Peter Bergen. He is CNN's national security analyst and vice president of New America. He studied 330 militants who either carried out or were caught planning attacks. The findings are in his new book. It's called The United States of Jihad. Peter Bergen, thanks for coming on.
Good to be here.
What are the demographics? What have you found about who these people who become radicalized in the United States, who are they?
Well, myself and my research team created a database of 330 cases since 9/11 of people involved in some kind of jihadi terrorist crime, ranging from the trivial, sending very small amounts of money to a terrorist organization overseas, to the very serious, such as murder. And we found that the profile is quite different from the young potheads of popular imagination. These are average age 29, a third are married, a third have kids. They're no more likely to have gone to prison than anybody else in the American population. They're no more likely to have mental problems. And you know, when you take it all together, they are ordinary Americans.
How does it work then? How does it happen that these people become radicalized?
You know, that's the big puzzle, because why does an American citizen, and overwhelmingly these cases are American citizens or residents, sign up for an ideology, one of which goals is to kill other Americans? It's really a form of treason. And I spent 2.5 years researching this book, and what I can say is that it's pretty complex. It's some kind of a rich stew of, you know, personal grievances, the desire to belong to something bigger than yourself, sometimes a search for recognition, objections to American foreign policies, some combination of all the above.
Could this be happening, do you think, without social media and the internet and the state of interaction that we have today?
Well, that has certainly made it much more pronounced as a problem, as a potential problem. I mean, the FBI says it's got investigations in 50 states, and social media and the internet generally allows people to radicalize in their own basement rather than having to go to some radical mosque or going overseas to meet some terrorist group. I mean, so that's the bad news. The bad news is that, you know, ISIS is able to radicalize, you know, we're not talking about huge numbers, but there have been more cases in 2015 of jihadi terrorism cases in the United States than in any year since 9/11. Mm. And we're looking at around at least, you know, something like 60 cases. The good news is that at the end of the day, you're going to be more effective if you can travel to Syria, get training, and come back. And luckily, very, very few people have been able to manage that from the United States in compared to Europe.
Part of the reason that people get radicalized is because of social media and Twitter in particular. And then part of the reason we know what's going on is because of social media and Twitter, right?
Well, yeah. If somebody's a prolific tweeter, one of the people I profile in the book is a guy called Omar Hamami from Daphne, Alabama. He became a leader of Al-Qaeda in Somalia, the Al-Qaeda affiliate there, Al-Shabaab. You know, he tweeted prolifically. In fact, he was one of the first person to really see that Twitter might be a useful way of communicating. He had 1,700 tweets, and he was killed by Shabaab.
He was killed by Shabaab while he was live tweeting the event, right? I mean, it sounds twisted to say, but that's what he was doing.
Yeah, he's probably the first person in history to live tweet his own assassination, which happened over a period of some time where they tried to kill him once and they didn't succeed, and then they finally managed to kill him. So we're in a whole different era. But, you know, he left this sort of digital trail, which was very useful for myself and other reporters who were trying to understand his journey.
It seems to me that what ISIS has managed to do here, and this is kind of a cynical way to look at it, but they've done some amazing branding, and they have been able to convince people that they have this Islamic utopia, as you say, while at the same time making a spectacle of their violence that is supposed to be attractive, right?
Yeah. And, you know, in a sense, they've crowdsourced jihad. They're saying, do whatever you can do. You know, if you can't get to Syria, you know, try and do an attack in the United States. And clearly this was influential on the couple in San Bernardino, California, who pledged allegiance to ISIS immediately after they killed 14 Americans.
Yeah, the last paragraph of the book talks about, you know, where we go from here. And you basically say it's going to be a persistent low-level threat, domestic terrorism will, and domestic radicalization for years and years and years.
Yeah. I mean, it's persistent is the bad news. Low level is the good news. This is not going away. Terrorism's been around as a tactic since the dawn of time. And I think in another era, you know, some of these kids might have been excited by the Weather Underground or the Black Panthers or some other revolutionary organization that promised to bring utopia through violence. And so it's not going to go away anytime soon. We're here now a decade and a half after 9/11. The fact that we're still having this conversation about Americans being recruited into the jihad is kind of pretty extraordinary on one level. But it is a low-level threat. I mean, if in 2002 we'd have this conversation and somebody predicted that a decade and a half after 9/11, only 45 Americans would be killed by jihadi terrorists in the United States, that would have seemed an absurdly optimistic claim. And yet that's actually what's happened. And the U.S. government, the Bush administration, the Obama administration has done a pretty good job of keeping us safe. We're not going to hear very much of that in this political season because no one's going to say, hey, we've managed to contain the threat. But we have.
Peter Bergen, his most recent book is called United States of Jihad. Peter, thanks very much.
Thank you, Sam.